Welcome to That 80s Show. Dory, quickly, if you're born in 1983, how old would you be?
79. I don't know.
Yo. That is
don't
very
make me math.
That is very far
don't
off.
Make me math.
That is very far off.
Okay, 40.
Getting there. 42.
Level 42.
I'm so happy that I'm born like in a round year, like 1980.
It's easier to work out.
So easy. And then I wonder.
I should actually know this because I'm born like in 73, so I should have worked that out a lot faster.
Wow. Yeah, that's on you. That is on you. You cannot blame
the 80s. Me and maths, man.
What is it?
No.
I'm good with numbers, like shop maths. I can calculate the cost of things very quickly.
Oh, no, I need a calculator.
No, I can work out things very and change. I'm well, we don't get change anymore.
No.
I'm phenomenal at working out change.
Yeah, no.
So, Dory, this week, any 1980s happenings in your world?
Not that I can think of. And as far as I know, fingers crossed, touch wood, no one's died.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, I think it's the first week in probably about 2 months that, oh, no, that British guy who was the bad guy in the first Superman. He died this week.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Yeah, he was very.
You don't even know his name, so.
He was Zorg.
I
think his name was Zorg. In Superman. You'll know him. You'll know him when you see him.
All right.
You'll know him when you see him. But yes, a good week.
No big names.
No big names. Bad week for funeral homes who specialize in funerals for 80s people.
Of course, we are recording the show in advance, and by Friday, someone might have died.
True story.
Let's just put a little disclaimer in there.
It is Tuesday. I really do not want to be re-recording the intro.
No.
So, you don't know 1983. You don't know who died. Maybe you know the answer to this question. Lead singer of Duran Duran.
Simon Le Bon.
Okay. So, Dory, did you know that we just passed the 40-year anniversary of an incident I literally have never, ever heard of because Simon Le Bon on August 10th, 1985, could have been Simon Le Gon.
Okay, dokie.
Dory, I want you to listen to this news report and then I'll tell you the details of this entire story.
Alrighty.
And you got to, this is some fantastic 80s reportering.
Arrived on the scene, Le Bon's 25-meter ocean racer, Drum of England, was still afloat. The keel of the $2 million yacht had snapped off and she had overturned. 18 of her crew members had managed to scramble clear and were clinging to the hull. But six of their colleagues, including Le Bon, were trapped inside the hull in an air pocket. A Navy diver plunged into the sea and during several dives managed to pull them all clear. 80 other yachts had earlier pulled out of the Fastnet event. Organisers said today's conditions were the worst since the 1979 race, when 15 sailors died. The Navy helicopter ferried most of the crew back to land. Others were taken ashore by lifeboatmen. Several were taken to hospital to be treated for exposure, although none are reported to be seriously injured. The lucky ones, including Le Bon, dried off at a local hotel.
No, I say terrific. It's not the right word to use. A very frightening, loud bang, couple of bangs, and the boats just went over. I was below decks at the time. I was sleeping, and I just suddenly woke up.
It's such a freak accident. It's beyond belief, and I don't think anybody on the crew as yet is... I don't think the gravity is set in of what's happened. I think now we're just living in a state of euphoria because we're all here, and, you know, all the faces are still here.
Did you know that story at all?
It feels like maybe I knew it but forgot it.
Okay, well, let me give you the details. Now, you got to love it there. You would have heard two voices there. The first voice is obviously Simon Le Bon.
Yes.
The
Let's
second
talk
voice,
about the second voice.
Describe the man and then I'll give you his name.
The man has the most glorious moustache.
I mean.
Glorious.
Color?
Ginger.
He's got that kind of, this hairstyle's come back in fashion again.
Yeah, like scruffy.
Scruffy, bowl cut-ish like, mullet.
Not quite a mullet, like a mullet in waiting.
Okay, yes. Not an intentional mullet, just like we maybe didn't have.
I didn't even look at his hair, I was too busy looking at the moustache.
The man's name? Skip Novak.
Skip
Novak. Okay, let me tell you the story, Dory.
Tell me.
I'm going to read you the detail from AOL today. August 10th, 1985 started as just another day of competitive sailing for Simon Le Bon, but it would end with a Duran Duran frontman staring death in the face beneath the waters of the English coast. 40 years later, the 66-year-old singer's survival story remains one of the most dramatic rescues in maritime history.
It did look pretty dramatic.
He was competing in the prestigious Fastnet yacht race aboard his 78-foot yacht called the Drum. When disaster struck, the boat's experimental keel suddenly broke away from the hull, causing the massive vessel to capsize and trap Le Bon and five crew members, none of them from Duran Duran, in an air pocket beneath the overturned boat. For what felt like an eternity, nearly 40 minutes, the men fought for survival as their lungs filled with a deadly mixture of diesel fumes and battery acid. 18 other crew members had managed to climb into the hull, but Le Bon and his five companions faced a terrifying reality. The small air pocket was all that stood between them and death. The Royal Navy rescue that followed was nothing short of heroic. A Navy diver, as you heard in the clip, managed to reach the trapped men and guide them to safety. Although, right, so this is where we are, okay? Happy right. with the story so far. He recounts the story. I found a clip, a recent one. We'll pop this all up on that 80 Show SA Facebook page of where he's on, I think, the Jonathan Ross show, telling the story. And this is like more recently, not recent, but he recounts the story, right? And tells, you know, okay. with the hindsight. He says, it wasn't as scary as you seem to think. He says, we're all under there. We knew we're being rescued because obviously it was a boat race. Did you hear in the clip they said eight? Did they say 18 or 80 other boats pulled out? There were only three.
I don't know.
Ended up competing.
Yo.
So what he tells in the Jonathan Ross clip is that there were only three boats competing and somebody was watching from the coast with his binoculars.
Oh, so they could call for rescues.
So they saw boat one, boat two, boat three. Then when he looks, boat one, boat two, boat three is gone. So the other members of Duran Duran in the same clip say they were in New York and they get this phone call, say there's been an accident. We think he's okay, but, you know, Simon Le Bon is trapped under his boat.
Yeah.
And they're like, what the fuck? Somebody is phoning from the newspaper. And they say, how did you know? The guy with the binoculars ran to a phone box.
Of course.
And phoned the emergency services, right?
Right.
So you can see the sea looks terrible there. Whether it's 18 or 80, a lot of other boats pulled out of the race.
Here's the question in my brain right now. How big was the air pocket? Because I'm picturing very dramatic thriller movie where the people are like,
yeah.
like lying almost on their back and like there's like no space, just the top of their face is sticking out.
Yeah.
And there's the...
And the water's rising.
And they're like...
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we don't know, but maybe it was huge.
Dory, it was a 78-foot yacht, which is 23 meters, and it had 15 crew on board?
Yeah, right? We don't know how quickly the water got in.
No, that sounds like a massive yacht.
Yeah.
That's massive.
I'm just wondering, like, when they say air pocket, are these guys, like, just chilling, sitting around, the water's at their knees?
That's what he was saying. He's saying it sounds a lot more dramatic than that.
Yeah.
But they heard helicopters. They knew, okay, we're going to be rescued. He said probably after speaking, everyone spoke to each other. I said, look, they did start getting a bit nervous after time. But he says, you're just floating there. You're keeping spirits up. They were still talking to each other. They were able to.
They should have been saving oxygen and not talking.
Maybe. But how big was the air pocket? Again.
Exactly.
Although they were breathing in fumes, which that can't be good.
Nah.
However, it wouldn't be on that 80 show without a silly little ending to it.
Right.
The Royal Navy rescue that followed was nothing short of heroic. A Navy diver managed to reach the trapped men, as I said. But Simon Le Bon's rescue came with an unexpected twist that would be broadcast around the world. Now, I searched and I searched and I searched. I could not find this broadcast around the world. His pants got caught during the underwater escape, forcing him to remove them. Footage of the rock star being hoisted into a rescue helicopter wearing only his underwear became an iconic image.
Where, so he was wearing underwear?
Where have we been living?
Yeah, but like, come on, he was wearing underwear. I was imagining something entirely different. I was imagining Simon Le Bonbons.
I thought Simon Le Gon was the best pun to go with this, but I'm definitely changing. I'm definitely adding Simon Le Bonbons. The contrast between his glamorous rock star image and the vulnerable reality of survival created a moment that was both humbling and humanizing. Now, you do see
and
because
hilarious. They forgot the other H word.
All the H's. Throw in all the H's because you saw in the one clip him in the blanket, they rubbing him. That's Simon Le Bon. You can see he's not wearing pants. You can see his legs.
Oh, okay.
So, but I cannot find a video of him floating in midair sans pants.
Mm. He probably had that scrubbed from the internet.
Is Simon Le Bon that powerful?
Yes.
He is that powerful.
Yes.
The psychological impact of the near-death experience was significant. Days after the rescue, Le Bon developed a stress-related rash and struggled with sleep issues. Mm. The trauma was so intense that he avoided watching any footage of the incident for 31 years. Finally viewing his rescue for the first time in 2016 during a BBC documentary.
Did that footage have his pants off?
No pants. The pants have been scrubbed. This happened a month after Live Aid.
Ah.
They had just performed at Live Aid. Duran Duran, mid-80s, the middle of the 80s. July, 1985. Hey, that's the middle of the 80s.
And he has been on a boat since, so he got over the trauma.
Yeah, he goes to Rio all the time on his boat. So, I mean, he's not flying there. He's fucking Simon Le Bon with the yacht. So he has gotten over
the trauma. Was that a Rio joke?
I tried. I mean, if I had to explain it, it's not that good.
Right.
But yeah, Simon Le Bon explaining the story of his harrowing boat escape.
And his bonbons.
I never fucking knew that story. That is crazy. Like, we know a lot of random 80s
shit. I don't
think
I knew that story.
That's wild.
But who knows? My brain, who knows?
That's a lot of wild. You're going to remember Simon Le Bon.
It might have been a number one magazine, though. It would have been a number one
Definitely
magazine.
Was a number one magazine. But anyway, if you've never heard that story, like us, it's a pleasure. Dory, one of my favorite singers of the 80s. I love him. I love him so much. I think he's one of my favorite people in general. Just like in general, just in life. Because this is a man that just goes, fuck, I love being me so much. Like, he just loves being himself.
I can't for a minute imagine who you're talking about.
Thomas Anders, Dory. Okay. Thomas Anders, we've met him, had him on the show, lead singer of Modern Talking, the only singer of Modern Talking, the only member of Modern Talking, if you ask me. We've been to his concert. He loves nothing. You follow him on social media, especially now, this time of year when he's summering, you know.
Is he in Ibiza?
He's been in Mallorca. He's done all the islands.
I love a man who enjoys his success.
Oh, and he loves it. He loves it. He's also been like genetically blessed, but he's aged gracefully.
Yeah,
beautifully. He's just, you know, he's a man, a middle-aged man. He's going to enjoy food, enjoy wine. This is what I look like. I'm not going to Botox myself. There's a little bit of things, but not crazy. I mean, not to hate on him, but I looked at Simon Le Bon, and Simon, so much.
Yeah.
So much is going on with Simon Le Bon. Where Thomas Anders just gone, like, I'm lucky.
Yes.
Okay. Full of face, just loves it.
Just enjoying that European, you know, wine and food.
Gets a pedicure. You know, every photo on Instagram of him the past month in little fancy sandals.
Okay.
Linen.
Yes.
Loving it. Loves fucking being himself.
He's going to release Christmas goodies again this year.
Okay, well, let's talk about what he releases. Because he's always releasing new music.
Yes.
He's got to that. He's like super popular in Germany. Huge. He's like the Kurt Darren of Germany.
Right.
Okay, so he's on everything. Every spectacular. They still have like shows, variety shows. He's on all of them. He's on everything. He still tours around Germany. Like, I have to tell you, the comments and the views of our interview with him, you're crazy. People love him, as do I.
Yes.
So he's always releasing new music. Now, we spoke a few weeks ago about Rod Stewart misusing AI. Thomas Anders uses AI perfectly.
Okay. Right?
So he started about 6 weeks ago posting images, a little AI images and videos of him with his younger self.
Oh, yes, I saw that.
Right?
Right.
So we all saw that trend of like where you can put a video of yourself. Yeah. We've seen it like the George Michael, older George Michael, younger George Michael. We see it, right? So he's been doing that. And he's fucking, this is fucking great.
He looks better now.
Oh, you know, the comparison. Is this is fucking.
I think if you didn't look better now, you wouldn't be posting those pictures.
Or you just go, I've looked spectacular my whole fucking life. Because I don't think he looks better at any stage. I think he just goes, wow, you have had two seasons of beauty.
Mm.
Right? He's had two seasons in his life. Both of them are fucking bountiful. So this is what he's been doing. So he starts posting a lot of these little AI videos and images with himself. Oh, where's this going? So he releases a new song called Cherokee Highway.
Okay.
Now, I did send this to you, but your response there shows that you didn't watch this. Dory, we're going to break away. We're going to break away so Dory can watch this. I want you just in the show notes also to pop down, go look. We've got the link there of Thomas Anders and his new music video. We're back, and you should be back, and you are like fucking in such a good mood now listening to that song. Now, Dory, first I want your comments on the song.
The song is lovely.
It's very modern talking. Very familiar. Very modern talking.
Very familiar. I'm thinking, this could be Geronimo's Cadillac, just different words.
Okay, now Dory, did you perhaps notice the car he's driving?
I did. It's a Cadillac.
It's literally fucking driving Geronimo's Cadillac.
Yep. And they're singing a song that sounds very much like.
So if you've not watched this, we're in a desert. It's not a real desert. It's all green screened. Yes. Okay. He is wearing a lovely tan jacket, but in the passenger seat is younger Thomas Anders.
Yes.
Very well done.
Yes.
They've done that. They've left all the money on the screen because that looks, that's not fake looking at all.
No.
Okay. Dressed in very typical, I can't make out if he's got his little Nora necklace. Okay. But very typical dressed younger Thomas Anders.
Very 80s looking Thomas Anders.
Top down, driving through the desert, young, older Thomas Anders singing, younger Thomas Anders just bopping his head, arm out the window. You know, imagine driving around. The South in a box shape.
In another universe, it could be his son.
And yet his son looks nothing like that.
Yeah.
His son looks exactly like his Thomas Anders' wife.
Yes, but I'm saying like, that's why I said in another universe. And,
but in this universe, it's young Thomas. He does have his little Nora necklace.
Okay.
Okay, so it's very well done. You said, why isn't he doing anything? I suppose they ran out of budget.
Yeah.
They must have run out of budget.
They didn't make him actually do anything. They just
he sings along with the chorus.
Yes.
Towards the end of the video, they seem to stop at a motel on the side of the road. This is where younger Thomas Anders looks a little bit like Martina Navratilova. Okay.
I don't remember the Nora necklace being that big.
Okay. Yeah. That's license plate size. And so they're both leaning on the car and younger Thomas Anders is being smoldering. And it sounds exactly like Geronimo's Cadillac. They are driving Geronimo's Cadillac. And it's probably the best thing I've seen on the internet this week.
Have to say I didn't hate it.
I've been playing it constantly.
I think I know what I'm listening to when I drive away from here.
It is called Cherokee Highway.
Hmm.
Okay. Thomas Anders.
New music from Thomas Anders.
Sings modern talking.
Yes.
No, he's got lots of new music.
Yes.
Cosmic Rider. Have you heard Cosmic Rider?
No.
Oh, I love that, Cosmic Rider. Oh, Dory, if you want to bathe yourself in Italo-disco-style Euro synth pop.
I have visions of you bathing yourself in
I'll
it.
Just manja. Put it all in my body. Lube me with it, young and old Thomas Anders. Both of you, I don't care.
The menage a trois we didn't know we needed.
You know he's thinking it. You know, who's that other guy, that fucking weird guy who's drinking his son's blood to keep young?
Yeah.
Thomas Anders is like, what a waste of money. I don't want to be young. I want my younger me back.
Yes.
I just want to be friends with him and drive around with him. And we'll revive modern talking.
Yeah.
You know he's fucking doing holograms. You know that's what he's trying to figure out how to do his next show. Mm. Fuck you, Dieter.
Yeah.
I don't need you. I got holograms.
Mm.
Anyway, love him. So we also love, on that 80 shows, movies, and we like to recommend movies to you. I really wanted to do a movie, a new movie set in the 80s. My God, it is tripe.
Oh, is there a new one?
I saw it promoted a while ago. Super excited about it because it goes, right, it's set in the 80s.
Okay.
Like the trailer was full of references. Kevin Smith's involved. He's a producer and a writer. I don't know if he directed it. It's called The 4:30 Movie.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's set in one day, a group of kids. Let me just make sure. Kevin Smith, he does direct it. So he writes it because it's full on Smodverse. Jason Mewes is in there. Justin Long's in there. Jason Lee's in there. So it's like.
All of.
Jason Biggs is in there. I mean, they're all in there. Okay. And
he hasn't done anything for a very long time.
So you kind of want to go, and then there's a new generation of actors. And you kind of go, I really want this to work. I really want this to be a Mallrats for this generation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But like it got promoted and it was in cinemas for a week and then it was off. And then you just completely forgot about it. And then it pops up on Amazon the other day. I go, this is fantastic. This is going to be the Mallrats of its generation. It's set in one day.
Yeah.
It's these three kids who are obsessed with movies and they're just going to go to the 4:30 movie and then use that to sneak into all the other movies.
Right.
And it starts with like a lot of 80s references, promising start. My God. I'm in about 25 minutes in and I'll go, this stinks.
Oh no.
This is so bad. I love Kevin Smith as much as the next person. I really do.
Yeah.
This is so bad. And now I'm missing the whole thing. Unless I go, maybe all the good shit happens from now on.
You gave up.
Oh, I was just like, because first the like 80s references are cute.
Mm.
Then they start going, you're trying too hard.
Yeah.
Then the one guy is evidently supposed to be, his name's, Austin Zajur, Brian David. He's obviously some pastiche of a younger Kevin Smith who knows movies. It's hard work.
So you're not going to talk about it?
No, even though I have. Your movie.
My movie is, when I say the extreme opposite of what you just described, that is the understatement of the century.
Okay. Okay.
Over the weekend, you sent a list of a meme to our WhatsApp group.
Yes, yes.
Of, and you literally said amateurs.
Was amateur hour.
Yeah.
Very disappointed by that.
Because it was a list of how many of these 80s movies have you seen? Obviously, you'd seen all of them.
And it's all the big ones.
It's all the major ones. Yeah, yeah. We have spoken about pretty much all of them on this show.
Except for one, and you might be doing that one today.
I might be, because it was the one that I said I hadn't seen.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what? I've waited long enough.
Yes.
I have never watched this movie. Now is the time.
Okay.
So I made an effort.
Yes.
I'm talking about the movie Raging Bull from 1980.
I'm so happy, Dory, that you have come around to Raging Bull. I did speak about it ages ago,
I
did. Back in our radio show day.
My memory's so bad.
It is fantastic.
But I had not watched it until recently.
You know what? It's so good you can do it twice.
It is. Okay, I'm gonna get in so much trouble for this.
Oh.
Let me start with, I am not one of those major Scorsese fans.
Oh, no,
I do get it.
I'm watching Boardwalk Empire right now.
Couldn't watch it.
Fucking
hated it.
Oh, I love it.
Couldn't watch it.
Love it.
Gangs of New York, hated it.
I love Scorsese.
I like some Scorsese.
Yeah.
I loved Goodfellas. But Goodfellas was a particularly good story. I read the book
that
it's based on. It's a true story. It's a particularly good story. I get it. I went to film school. I see what he does. He does things well. He also makes very slow-paced movies.
That is very true.
He makes overly long movies.
Yeah.
I fell asleep watching Raging Bull.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
It was, I get it. And I mean, it's the arty movie that arty movie watchers would love to love, right?
Yeah.
It's black and white.
Except for the blood.
Well, that's why it was black and white, because there was going to be so much blood. It's one of the reasons they made it in black and white, so that it wouldn't be ultra gory.
Ooh, did I spoiler alert it?
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. It's not 100% in black and white.
No,
there
no,
are
no.
bits of color, but like nice Polaroid retro color scenes. I can appreciate it for what it is. I did not finish it, but I did. So I watched about half, fell asleep, and then watched some YouTube videos about it. So I know, I know the story. And look, I probably will finish it at some point. Maybe.
Yes.
Robert De Niro, I mean, the cast is amazing. Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, Catherine Moriarty. Like, amazing cast.
Scorsese gets the people. I mean, Robert De Niro was his muse. Now Leonardo DiCaprio is his kind of go-to.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Raging Bull is that Robert De Niro convinced Scorsese to do it. Scorsese didn't want to do it. And Robert De Niro said, because he had read the book,
and it's based on a true story.
Let's get some background. Yeah. It is based on a true story of a boxer named Jake LaMotta. Jake LaMotta? Jake LaMotta? I can't remember.
They say LaMotta.
I think it's LaMotta.
They say LaMotta.
Who was around in like the 1940s.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it came out in 1980, but it's set primarily in the 1940s. Goes a bit into the late 1940s, early 1950s. I knew nothing about this guy. I am a bit of a boxing fan, but not to the point where I would know. I mean, obviously I'd heard of Sugar Ray Leonard. Mm. I had not heard of this guy. One of the things I liked about it, I was expecting it to be more of a boxing movie. It was not. It's not a boxing movie.
But the boxing is fantastic, though.
The way the boxing is filmed is phenomenal.
Mm.
It's very theatrical. In fact, one of the YouTube videos that I watched about it said the boxing scenes are like watching an opera.
Yeah.
And they are. They're beautifully done. And the fact that it is blood and sweat flying in the air, but it's still beautiful, tells you something about how well it's made. So, yes. And there's lots of metaphor and meaning in all of it. Essentially, it's a story about a man who is his own worst enemy. And what was interesting is that Jake himself was involved in the making of the movie. Yeah. He, in fact, trained Robert De Niro how to box. So that's really interesting.
Robert De Niro looks spectacular in that movie.
Robert De Niro always looks spectacular.
He is an animal in that movie.
Let's be clear.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked a bit more spectacular in Taxi Driver because his hair was a bit better.
Right.
But, you know, he does. Yeah, his hair was a bit funny in this movie, but he had to look the part. The acting is absolutely incredible. And like I say, brilliantly done. I think I might have been expecting more. I might have been expecting more story.
Robert De Niro won Best Actor for this movie.
I'm sure he did.
He did. I'm just looking at it now.
And this is very much an Academy Award type of movie.
It did, because they also won Best Film Editing.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, look, very, very nice. And like I say, I think I will finish it because I wasn't hating it. It was just long and slow and I was tired. It was black and white, and I'm not the film student I used to be.
Okay.
But I am glad that I have essentially watched this movie now.
I'm glad too, Dory.
And I will finish it, and I can recommend it.
It's your Princess Bride.
It is. Well, does that mean one day you will watch Princess Bride?
You know what? I'm really getting close because I'm like, I intentionally watch bad movies.
The Princess Bride is not bad.
And then I watched this 4:30 movie shit. And
exactly.
Then
you're wasting your life when you could be watching a really great movie that you would enjoy.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Dory, recommendation of Raging Bull.
Yes.
If you haven't watched it.
Be prepared for a slow-paced, very arty film.
It's quite weird.
It's a film. It's not a movie.
I didn't find it arty. I mean, it's very artistic, but I was like, it had enough people getting beaten to a pulp to keep me interested.
And the other thing is, he is not a nice person. He is very abusive to the woman in his life, even his brother. Everyone, he's very abusive to everyone in his life. He is his worst enemy. And I think that's why Robert De Niro wanted the movie made so much, because the book was him writing and saying, I was the only person who screwed up my life, and this is my story, and I admit that I was the problem. And that comes across in the movie very strongly, especially because I did watch the final scene. The final scene, he says some words from Marlon Brando from A Streetcar Named Desire.
Okay.
Where he's basically saying, I was the problem.
Right.
He realizes, he looks back on his life and he goes, all these people who I just raged at and blamed for all the problems in my life and literally beat up my whole life. Not the problem. I was the problem. So there's lots of meaning to it, you know. There's all that stuff. So yeah, it's worthy. It's a worthy movie.
It is a good movie.
1980, so it looks very retro. I mean, even though it's set in the 1940s, so really does look retro.
So I watched, you talk about very long and slow paced. I watched the extended Martin Scorsese cut.
Oh my God.
Right? And it had been remastered. And because it's set in the 40s, it doesn't age.
Yeah, it doesn't age,
I'm really into it. Like, I can't watch. I'm really battling to watch things. I don't like pre-COVID movies anymore because we live in a different reality now.
Yeah.
But then also I like stuff set, or even movies from further back, set further back because they don't age. Because nowadays, the second somebody takes out a phone, aged. The second they make a cultural reference, aged. And you go, oh, I'm out the moment.
Yeah.
I'm getting to that age. That's why I like something like Boardwalk Empire. I like watching that because it's set 100 years ago, doesn't age. It's like it just is where it is. And it's like the second...
Same thing with Westerns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
New stuff, they'll take out a phone. You go, oh, fuck. Okay, now I know where you are. You know, and then I'm broke. It's broken. Then you can't get past
it.
Anyway, we were so close to both doing Robert De Niro movies this week.
Ah.
So close. And believe it or not, there's a shitload of Robert De Niro movies that we haven't done. Because you name all the ones. I will do this one. Mm. But of course, I started watching that 4:30 movie shit. So I was like, oh, no, that's bad. The Robert De Niro movie I want to do is quite long. Let me find something that's very quick and short. And I found something spectacular. Now, we are talking Matthew Broderick.
Okay.
Okay. We're talking about a movie where Matthew Broderick works for the government and he is involved in shenanigans.
Okay.
Now, what movie does it sound like, Dory?
It sounds like War Games.
No, but Dory, it is not War Games.
Okay. Because you've done War Games.
I have done War Games.
Not too long ago.
1987, we have a movie, Matthew Broderick, Helen Hunt. Matthew Broderick is superstar now. He's just done Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So he is huge to the point that this movie, they actually changed the movie poster to make people think they were watching a Ferris Bueller type movie because the subject matter of the movie is super dark, but yet on the movie poster, you got smiling Matthew Broderick. So people are like, he was just in Ferris Bueller. That's Ferris Bueller. This is going to be a romp. Ooh, not a romp.
Stupid do they think we are.
Not,
it worked, right?
Not a romp at all.
Ooh.
Matthew Broderick was in some stupid movie called Trainwreck.
Okay.
Recently, right?
Oh, okay.
And, recently-ish. You say recently and then you actually go look at the movies from like 10 years ago. And in the, like, lots of good people in this movie, but just a shit movie. And he makes an appearance in it to the point where in the outtakes and the bonus material, is it Bill Hader from...
Bill Hader.
Bill Hader.
Yeah.
Chirps him about this movie and he goes, please don't talk to me about that movie.
Ooh.
And Bill Hader's like, no, God, I love that movie so much. He goes, it was a paycheck. Shut up. Let's just move on.
Okay.
Okay. So this is what he says about that movie.
Right.
It's a movie called Project X. Which isn't that Project X.
Is it the one with the chimpanzee?
It is totally the one with numerous chimpanzees.
How have we not done this movie before?
I know. Helen Hunt, she is a researcher, scientist, and she works with chimpanzees. The movie's very sad. We see a chimpanzee get taken away from its mother and put in this institute. You go, oh, shame, poor thing. But Helen Hunt now becomes surrogate mother.
Yes.
And she teaches it sign language. Yes. And it's like he's very clever. The chimp's name is Willy. Okay. Right. And it's a lovely story. And then suddenly the funding gets pulled.
Mm.
Oh, no, I have to give up the chimp. So all the chimps get taken away. Enter Matthew Broderick. He's a hot shots pilot. Kind of does things by his own rules and he gets punished now because he disobeyed orders. They said, guess what? You're on chimp duty. We're sending you to this research facility.
Okay.
You're cleaning chimp cages.
Oh, wow.
That's what you're doing. So this is punishment. He then is now in this facility. His job is to do all the shit work with the chimps, but he discovers that this chimp can sign language.
Yes.
It can sign. So he goes, oh.
Does he know how to sign?
He teaches himself how to sign.
Okay.
And he starts communicating with the chimp.
Right.
So he's not quite sure. So he knows he has to clean up. This is how the job gets sold to him. You got to clean after the chimps. You got to look after the chimps. You got to clean the cages. Oh, by the way, you also got to teach him how to use a flight simulator. We're teaching the chimps to fly. Kind of like bury the lead.
Wow.
Okay. So part of his duties now, chimp duties, and then chimp duties, he's got to teach him how to fly. So he's got all these chimps in a flight simulator. Why? Why? You know, you just shut up, teach the chimps to fly. And we're going, chimps, they're flying. It's so funny. We loved chimps in the 80s until we realized how badly they were probably abused in the movies.
Yeah.
Chimps are flying planes. To find out that what they are doing, what they're experimenting on is it's middle of the Cold War. They want to see how long a fighter pilot can fly into a nuclear like detonation zone and how long they can fly before they die after being exposed to radiation. So they're testing it on the chimps.
Of course.
Okay.
Because the 80s was all about animal experimentation.
That's just what they do.
Yeah.
But each time they experiment on a chimp, they expose them to the radiation.
Yes.
And the chimps start getting pissed off.
Do they start changing?
He's like a young chimp, and then he gets exposed to radiation. He like turns his head like this. Dory's looking at me now.
Mm.
And he's gray all of a sudden.
Is it an animatronic?
No, it's like a real chimp with baby powder on him.
Oh, wow.
Then,
okay.
Then the chimps, like now they start breaking out their cages. And then the one chimp, like the menacing leader chimp.
Yes.
Like they just want to fucking cause chaos now. They just want to kill all the scientists.
Yeah.
Havoc. Havoc ensues. Then it gets silly because the chimps break out the facility and they steal a plane. And then you have this hilarious scene of all these chimps flying a real plane. So you've just had these really dark moments. The rights and wrongs of nuclear warfare, animal experimentation. They fly the plane because they got taught. It's so silly. Because at the end of the day, they're still chimps. So it completely ruins anything.
Wow. And I remember really enjoying this movie, but I don't think I'd want to watch it again.
Oh, it's super tear-jerkery moments. There's like one scene that everybody talks about.
Mm.
Like the final scene.
Does
when
the chimp die?
I won't. I mean, Matthew Broderick turns to the main chimp, Goliath. He goes, "Thank you, Goliath." And just starts crying.
No.
Oh. Chimps escape. They crash land. We assume they're free. We don't know if they're dead or not. But that is the movie called Project X.
Wow.
Includes the song, hilariously, Peter Gabriel's Shock the Monkey.
Oh, wow.
It was written by the guy who wrote this was writing Wall Street at the same time.
Okay.
Very different.
Very
movies.
Different.
Very different.
I can't believe we've never spoken about this movie.
Me neither.
Crazy.
Me absolutely
but
neither.
But I do remember it.
I want to end off with something. A friend of ours, Costa, been on the show, was on the early, early shows. He posted something on Facebook the other day. He posted something on Facebook the other day that resonated so much with me. You and I have spoken about it before. You even commented on this. He posts up, age yourself with a store brand that doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
Right? He actually said an essay, but most people took it as anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through some of these. Of course, you popped this up. He did it as well. Smiley Blue.
Yeah.
Do you know, I was talking to my daughter the other day, saying, I can still remember exactly where Smiley Blue was in Cresta.
I remember exactly where it was in the mall by me
like
as well.
Like anywhere, okay?
Literally.
Smiley Blue. Somebody puts up your pan burgers.
Oh,
there's a mix of 80s and 90s in here, so I'm going to go with the 90s ones. Do you remember the store Moolah's?
Yes. Oh. I almost worked for Moolah.
Oh, really?
I almost got a job there.
That man must have retired off buffaloes alone.
I don't know.
Oh, no. When the Buffalo Shoe came in the 90s.
He had the fashion shop, but yes. He also had a music shop.
Yes.
I wanted to work in the music shop.
Okay. Because he got things.
Yeah.
He had things.
Yeah.
Right?
And this was in the Joburg CBD.
Okay. See, I only ever went to the one in Sandton and
Muller's. Muller's in the mall.
Yes. Oh, no. Then they went upmarket.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I was going to work at the CBD one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I remember the time. We're talking like mid-90s.
Yeah.
Selling buffaloes, 800 rand a shoe. You know how much that was?
Muller's was the place to go and get the stuff you
all
wanted.
Those things.
Yeah.
Greatermans and Garlicks.
Oh, yeah.
We don't do a department store anymore.
No.
Chucking Stutterfords into that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
But I mean, we used to go, my mother and my aunt and I used to go to Greatermans in the Joburg CBD all the time. I remember there was a very long escalator.
Yes, yes. That was the iconic one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they just had everything.
Everything.
Homewares, clothes,
and
international
there was a restaurant
brands,
we'd go and have lunch. Oh.
What a time we used to go out.
It was the roaring late 70s.
Lots of different video store brands, people popping up here.
Yeah.
Of course, you get Fontana and Mr. Rooster's, Morkel's. We've spoken about Morkel's before.
I mean, who can forget Morkel's?
No one can forget that. A lot of people saying Joshua Dore and Bears, but those still exist, as
well,
we've discovered.
I think they do.
They still do exist. The Keg and any variation of it. Remember how many kegs there were at one stage?
Yo.
The Keg and everything.
Mm.
It was just constant kegs, very bad Irish themed pubs.
Yes.
And then there were Mansfield's as well.
God,
Jeremy
I've
Mansfield.
About that, yes.
He also opened up a chain of pubs. Another one, my wife and I were actually talking about this based on this post. Hilton Winer, Urban Degree, Acker Joe, and Vertigo.
I don't even know some of those.
Oh, no, those are just fantastic. I mean, we basically only wore that.
Yeah.
It was kind of that like, because we Abercrombie and Fitch kind of look. You didn't really get those too much, yeah, but Akajo and those guys kind of took that space of that.
I
kind
remember
of,
Akajo. Yeah.
They're making a very good comeback, but as smaller stores. But again, in the department store, OK Bazaars.
Oh.
Remember OKs?
Yeah.
OK Bazaars. Oh,
yeah, you could buy furniture there.
Placine, the kids' toy shops.
Sure.
Cameroon was another one.
Oh,
also,
my goodness, yes.
Or high fashion. Yeah. Kind of young designers.
Yes.
Before young designers. So like it was like if you were
it
a designer.
It was like Smiley Blue, but not quite as cheesy.
Yeah. It was like very cool. Yeah.
Smiley Blue was kind of cheesy 80s yeah. style.
No. Cameroon was more 90s, but they had like 10 of a shirt and that was it. They only made like 10 of 10. I related to young designers because I remember the one in Santa and young designers took over their store. So maybe that's why. Then people start naming record stores. Look and Listen.
Yep.
Rest in peace. Hillbrow Record Center.
Yeah.
Dory, what was Sambo's? Do you know what Sambo's was?
No.
I don't know Sambo's.
Phono Sound is what I got into a discussion with someone about.
Yes.
Because her brother used to work there. And I was like, oh my God, small world moment. I remember him. I remember him.
You see, that's the thing. I remember him.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
It was the guys who worked at Phono Sound.
Yeah. Yep. You see, Musica also.
Yeah. I worked at Look and Listen.
You know, but even there's another one, a CNA CD bar.
Oh
so
my goodness,
firstly,
yes.
CNA. I loved the CNA. I loved it. You could just, because I said to my daughter, what do you guys do when you go to a mall anymore?
Yeah.
I said, you could go to Look and Listen. You could go to CNA.
You could listen to music.
You're looking at posters.
They don't need that anymore. They
magazines.
Can listen on Spotify.
Oh, it was such a thing. You just walk around the stores. You could, go look at band
like
t-shirts.
Sit in exclusive books and like read half a book.
I know. People still do that though.
Yeah, I suppose they do.
A bunch of banks. Volkskas Bank.
Jeez, yeah.
Perm.
Remember Perm.
People live. And listen.
Barclays
United Bank.
Yeah.
Health and Racket Club, which became Virgin Active.
Yes.
Remember when they had that crazy deal at Health and Racket Club sign up that you got a lifetime membership for like 10 rand a month?
And then they closed down and people lost their shit.
Some people still, Cousin Louie had his until very, very recently. He kept fighting with them.
Well, I've still got my once off Virgin Active membership. I paid once and I have not paid since.
Well done.
If they ever take that away from me, I will fight them to
fucking
the death.
Go punch Richard Branson in his throat.
Yeah.
It's run by the guy from Kauai. He runs Virgin Active now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good deal. Good deal for him. Hmm. And then to end off, a lot of like really cool restaurants. Mivami. There's still a few of them. They're not the same.
No, it's not. Absolutely They're not the same.
And I was taken to this once when I was young. And I don't know if it was just because it was... I remember the situation very clearly. My mom and my sisters had gone away and then my dad went to go meet with my cousin on a Friday night in Broomer Lake. I was, could have been 11 or 12, late night owls.
I knew you were going to say that. I knew you were going to say late night owls because that was the only place to go in Broomer Lake.
Yes.
The only, and we used to go there and hang out when we were at school.
It just struck me as, wow, this place is
fucking
cool.
And they also used to, I think, have live music.
And
that's where we used to watch bands.
Yeah.
Stuff like that, like cover bands.
Oh, I was just like, I'm so struck. God. Like, I don't think I've been in
as
a cooler place.
As you said the words, late night owls, I could taste the burger.
Yes.
I could taste it.
Oh, so much grease.
So good.
So much grease.
It was so good.
I almost don't want to like end on another one, but a lot of people are saying Mike's Kitchens, but there still are.
No, there's still Mike's Kitchens.
I know there's still at least
different.
Two. There's one actually 5 minutes down the road from where we record.
Yeah.
But let's go back. Late Night Owls, like just one of the coolest. Like I say, I went there once. I had a burger.
Oh no, I used to go there a lot.
Yeah.
You missed out.
Jeez. And now Broomer Lake.
Is no longer a lake.
It's not longer a lake.
They had to remove the bodies and cement it up.
I didn't want to say that, but lots of bodies in the lake.
Lots of bodies.
I mean, really don't want to depress people on that, but...
Just a fact.
They literally found fucking dead bodies in there.
Literally.
I mean, we're not making this up.
No, Google it.
Oh, Dory, what a fun show. So many rememberings.
So many. Memory lanes.
Simon the Bonbons. You know, Thomas Anders and his younger self.
Mm.
What would he tell his younger self?
Keep doing what you're doing. It all works out perfectly.
Works out exactly as we want it to work out.
Yes. Get rid of that Ditter guy.
Fuck him. He's only going to break your heart. And got to be honest, the Nora necklace.
Yeah.
A bit much. Doesn't work that much. Just a bit smaller. Change the font. You're going 28. We can get away with the 14 font size. Thanks for joining me, Dory.
Bye.
Bye.